Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Yud Gimel, the 13th Perek. This is now the second Perek in which Iyov responds to all three friends. Last time we spoke about his deep feelings of abandonment and isolation in light of the fact that all three friends insist that he is worthy of his suffering. Here he continues to proclaim his innocence, but he brings in a whole new dimension to the conversation that they're having. And this dimension is a fascinating thing to ask ourselves as people who also seek to understand an answer to the question of Tzadik Varalo. This dimension is really the dimension of what does it take to be a truth seeker? What does it take to be a person who doesn't want to be right, doesn't want to insist on their own take being the correct view, but is open enough to hearing different perspectives in order to find truth? And we'll see if Iyov is correct, and we'll see if his friends are correct. Let's take a look. Perek Yud Gimel opens up with Iyov once again claiming that everything that the friends are saying is something he has heard of before. Hein kol ra'asa eini. Yes, everything you say, my eyes have seen. Shama ozni, and my ear has heard. Vataven la, and I understand it. Pasuk beis, kedaatchem yadati. Your knowledge and my knowledge are on equal grounds. I know what you know. Gamani, I also know it. Lo nofel anochi mikem, and I'm no less than you. I know that you think you guys are taking the moral high ground here by answering Tzadik Varalo and insisting that I sinned, but let me tell you, my information is just as valid and just as accurate as yours. However, ulam pasuk gimel, and here's a new twist to things, he says, ani kel shakaya daber, v'hocheach el echpatz. I don't want to have an intellectual battle of the minds with you. I don't want to get stuck in a discussion of your opinion versus my opinion because we're just two opinions. I want to know God's opinion. I want to talk to Hashem. I want to know how he can explain my suffering. And now he goes on, and as with many highly emotional debates and discussions, he makes it personal. He turns to his three friends and he says to them, you and I can sit here and talk tit for tat all day long, but that's not what I want. What I want is God's answer. I want to know how Hashem sees the world. And look at this accusation, pasuk dalet ve'ulam, however, atem tofle shaker. You guys don't want to know what God says. You're a bunch of fakers. You are seeking falsehood. You don't want to know Hashem's view. Rof'ei elil lekulchem. You are healers of, the word elil is like alilim, gods. You're healers of nonsense. And one of the ways of understanding this is what he's saying is you're trying to heal me of something which is nonsense. You're trying to fix me, but I don't need fixing. I didn't do anything wrong. Either way, you guys are not looking for the truth. You just want to be right. And why do you want to be right? Very, very troubling. He's going to say, the reason why you want to be right is because you just want to see things, as we said last time, in a very square way. You want Hashem to be good. And the only way that you can make Hashem good is by saying that I sinned. And that makes you just a bunch of liars. You're trying to fit everything into your worldview so everything feels snug and Hashem feels good, but that's not how it works. Pasuk, hey, mi yiten hacharish tacharish, and if only you guys would just be quiet. Usahi lachem lachochma, then you can be wise. And there's something so difficult about this perek because there's something so heavily ironic about the fact that this is what Iyov is saying to his friends. Iyov turns to his friends and he says, can you stop arguing with me long enough for you guys to listen and actually get smarter? And we ask ourselves, really, this is coming from Iyov. Iyov, who after every single answer of his friends, has gone on and on about his own self-righteousness. And sometimes in an argument, we can fall into this trap of being so determined that we're being open-minded, that that is actually what's making us close-minded here. And what's so fascinating about this perek, the Sefer in general, but this perek in specific, is it really brings to the fore some of the shortcomings and the fallacies of having a debate with someone. And this is one of those. He says, Pasuk Vav Shimuna Sochachti, listen to my take of things. Viribots fatai hekshivu, and listen to what I have to say. He's saying, you guys don't listen. And the question is, are they listening? We know that Eov is not listening. Eov is not listening, maybe because he doesn't deserve to suffer, or maybe because at this point, he's not yet able to be silent and listen. And we know that his whole mode of dealing with his suffering changes when Elihu arrives and he is silent. And the question we don't know is, what makes Eov silent? Is it that Elihu says something fresh and new, which Elihu does? Or is it also the fact that he has been worn down already in debate with the other three friends, which makes him open to hearing a different possibility? Meaning sometimes it's not just the right words which satisfy us, but it's the right words at the right time. And this is clearly not the right time for Eov, as he continues to argue and disregard the opinions of his friends. And Pasuk Zayin, he says, Hala'el tadabru avla v'lo tadabru rimiya. He says, are you guys who are full of lies, are you speaking lies to Hashem, speaking nonsense and crooked ways to Hashem? Are you speaking in a deceptive way to Hashem? Essentially, what he's saying is that you are deceiving God. What does this mean? This is made more clear in Pasuk Ches, where he says, Hapanav tisaun. You're almost like being two-faced to Hashem. Imla el tarivun. It's almost like you're flattering God. What you're trying to do is like this. You're trying to say that if you imagine two children having an argument and one of the kids will turn themselves into a pretzel, right, in order to defend the parent's opinion so that they can impress the parent. He's saying, that's what you're doing. You're just trying to impress HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not what Hashem wants. Do you think Hashem wants your flattery? Do you think Hashem wants you to not even use your brain, but to just single-mindedly defend him without asking questions? Come on, that's not fair. Now, by the way, we can almost make the same accusation about Eov. As we said, this whole parak brings to the fore the question of like who's pointing a whose finger at whom, right? Because Eov is also trying to make God good. Just like on the one hand, the friends are trying to understand God as just and fair, and therefore they come to the conclusion that he has sinned. Eov equally is trying to make God just and fair, and therefore he comes to the conclusion that his suffering is not given to him by God. That is another form of mind tricks that we play to ourselves in order to make the whole world look nice to ourselves. This is not a very good argument that Eov is making. At the end of the Sefer, we see, both when Hashem talks as well as his fourth friend Elihu, that there are very good arguments against the friends' arguments. The two main reasons why the friends are incorrect in their assessment of the whole situation are, number one, because they are heartless. They're unempathetic. They don't really seem to care about the emotional state of Eov, and Hashem is going to tell them off about that. But the second thing, which is very interesting, which Elihu speaks about, is really like this. Essentially, if you say that the only way we can explain that a person is suffering is because they sinned, then, and hear how clever this is, and we'll talk about this later on at the end of the Sefer, then essentially you are limiting God to fit into the confines of the rational mind. If everything in the world has to make sense, then God is limited to what makes sense to me, which is why the friends are wrong. And we'll see why, what it needs to be added in order for the friend's worldview to be complete. But Eov's argument here with the friends is not that. Eov's argument with the friends is not you are being too rational. Because remember, Eov himself is being too rational. He's not saying to the friends, where's your humility? Hashem runs the world. He's not there yet. He is, like the friends, trying to make the world make sense to the human mind. And maybe that's both of their mistakes. And he goes on and he continues. We're going to skip to Pasuk Yud Gimel. And he says, Hacharishu mimeni v'adabra ani v'ya'avor alayma. You guys, keep quiet. Stop talking. Now I'm going to speak. Meaning, since you guys are all a bunch of fakers, you're just flattering Hashem. I am a truth seeker. I want to understand why Hashem runs the world. I'm not afraid and trying to appease him and pitter-patter around him like we spoke about in last parak. And therefore, I should be speaking because my points are more valid than you. And once again, we hear another fallacy in argument. When we're making an argument, and in the argument, all we're arguing about is who is more right than the other one, without actually making any new, fresh, valid points, then that whole argument is lost. Pasuk Tes Vav 15 really gives us an insight into his headspace, into Eob's headspace, specifically because there is a ketiv and a kri. A ketiv and a kri is when the pasuk is written one way, but it's read another way. I'm going to start with the kri, how it is read, and then we'll go back and take a look at the ketiv, how it's written. The kri goes as follows: Hein yikteleni lo ayachal. Even though God is cutting me down and killing me right now, I am still hoping. I'm looking towards Him with hope. Ach derachai al panav achiach. And as I continue to wait for God and to wish for God, I also want to have this out with God and prove to Him that I'm undeserving. So again, he's saying, even though God's killing me, guys, I still have emunah. I still am turning to Hashem. But the kri doesn't say velo ayachel with a vav, I am turning to Him, but velo with an aleph, I am not hopeful. And here maybe is really the dichotomy or the conflict which Eov is living in. On the one hand, he is insistent that he is remaining loyal to Hashem and turns to Hashem. And on the other hand, the underlying message of everything he's saying is that he is not. He is not faithful. He is not remaining in his emunah. His emunah is cracking. His faith is breaking, and he's not in a good place. This is, once again, a person who's going through suffering and turns to the people around him and says, guys, I'm great. What are you talking about? Everything's fine. And the edge of hysteria in the voice, the ktiv, the undertones are saying, I am so not okay, but he's not willing to accept yet that he is not okay. Pasuk Chaf Gimel once again gives us an insight into his overall worldview. He says, Kameli avonos v'chataos, Hashem, how many sins do I have? Go on, tell me, let's talk it out. Pish iva chatosi hodieni, tell me all of my sins. Pasuk Chaf Dalad, and Hashem, lama panecha tastir, Hashem, why aren't you talking to me? Why are you ignoring me? V'tachsheveni le'oyev lach, and it's almost like I'm your enemy. And here some of the Mefarshim explain that there is a switching. If you take the word Eov and you switch around the Yud and the Aleph, it becomes Oyev, an enemy. Remember, this is the Eov who believes that the whole world works on random chance. And here what he's maybe suggesting is that randomly, God, you made a mistake somewhere in your books up there in Shamayim where you misspelt my name. You muddled around two letters of my name and suddenly I'm not Eov to you anymore, I'm Oyev. But this is all just a random mistake. This is based on the stars, based on astrology. This is a totally random happenstance, which is, again, part of Eov's worldview. Why does he feel like he's Hashem's enemy? Well, there's two reasons. The main reason is because he's suffering. But there's another reason, which this pasuk gives us an insight into, which is, Lama panecha tastir, you're not answering me. If a friend comes to a friend, Rav Schwab explains, and says, what's going on with us? Can we talk? The friend, you would hope, would answer. But if you're ignoring me, if you couldn't be bothered to even answer me, am I that hated to you, Hashem, that you can't even tell me why I'm suffering? That's so unfair. Pasuk Chaf Zayin 27 is when he continues and he says, Vatasem besad raglai. It's as if you have put my feet, you've like placed my feet into cement. You've like stuck them into cement. Raglai. Vatishmor kol archotai, and you're watching my every step. You're controlling my every step. El Sharshe Raglai Tishake, and the roots of my feet you've totally enclosed up. What does this mean? Well, according to most of the commentaries, this means I feel stuck, Hashem. You've put me in a situation that I'm totally stuck, I have nowhere to move. But obviously, according to the Malbim is going to read this as I have no free choice. You have, on the one hand, put me stuck in the cement. You have put me into a situation in which you have decided what I'm going to do, and therefore you are the cause of what I'm doing. And yet, you're still punishing me for it. How unfair is that, Hashem? This doesn't make any sense. And this ends the second piece of three of Eov's speech to all of his friends. Our learning today was sponsored by the Nach Yomi Chavruta, in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael Varachel, whose short years despite immense challenges, were filled with Torah, family, and joy. His life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the schus of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.